Citizens voiced concerns surrounding the Las Vegas-based company IPOP at a public meeting held in Nome on September 20th. The company is looking to dredge on Safety Sound and Bonanza Channel. Representatives from the Department of Environmental Conservation, or DEC, the Department of Natural Resources, or DNR, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers started the meeting with a PowerPoint presentation. They detailed the proposed mining operation and where IPOP is in the permitting process. Charlene Bringhurst is a natural resource specialist at the DNR. She says the DNR received IPOP's submission of the Application for Permits to Mine in Alaska, or APMA, in March. The APMA is a multi-agency application which is submitted to the DNR, which then distributes it to other state and federal agencies so permits could be issued. The DNR is currently reviewing the second amendment of IPOP's APMA. Here's Bringhurst.
We don't have a specific timeline for issuing an authorization, or if we will issue an authorization. It's not a guarantee.
Nick Dahlman, a placer mine coordinator at the DEC, explains that the organization submitted a letter to IPOP earlier in the summer, stating that IPOP will have to apply for an individual DEC wastewater permit in order to proceed. It's called an Alaska Pollutant Discharge Elimination System Permit, or APDES. That application is a larger one than the small test dredge permit application IPOP originally submitted. According to Dahlman, the APDES has not yet been received. Dahlman adds that there has not been a lot of communication between IPOP and the DEC, but he suspects that IPOP will continue with its environmental studies on the area to collect information in order to complete the application. He also stresses that the DEC reserves the right to ask IPOP for more data if needed after the application is submitted. The DEC's authority is to ensure that permits issued are in line with state water quality standards. Following the informational portion of the public meeting on September 20th, the floor was open to citizens' comments, questions, and concerns. A common sentiment was the proposed project's threat to the bountiful wildlife in the area and subsistence activities. Nome resident Ann Davis spoke on the abundance of life she's witnessed in the area in question.
We saw salmon, we saw tompod, we saw birds gathering up, getting ready to leave for the winter. I mean, the whole place was really alive today compared to some other days. There are the best berry picking grounds down there. I would hate to see all of that ruined.
Roy Ashenfelter wanted to know exactly what IPOP studies of the land would entail. He asked what the purpose of IPOP's study is, how it's going to be accomplished, and what the impact would be on the land. He expressed worry that the project could be, quote, very damaging for our finite resources that can destroy habitat that's been here for millions of years, end quote. Leslie Tose, a project manager at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, answered his question with, quote, in no way have we approved the project, end quote. According to Tose, there's a process. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers needs information about other potential sites and if any sand flats, mud flats, or shellfish are present in the area. She says these things have protection under the Clean Water Act, so the organization needs to know what's present in order to proceed. The U.S. Army Corps has asked IPOP to supply them with this information. The Corps will also consult with the National Marine Fishery, local tribes, and experts in Nome in order to make their decision on permitting. IPOP's president, Edwin Epstein, was not present at the meeting due to illness preventing him from traveling. KNOM reached out to Epstein, who declined to comment. Nome resident Mitch Erickson serves as IPOP's community liaison. Erickson organized an initial informational community meeting on IPOP's plans back in June, which he says a representative of IPOP was present at. After hiring Erickson to do their mine safety training, IPOP asked Erickson to be their voice in the community. Erickson explains his role.
Well, some information from somebody is better than no information from nobody. And so that's what I'm here to, okay, this is what's happening, this is how it's being done, and our whole goal is to make sure that it's done properly. I take the information and I relate back to the permitting agencies or the owner.
Like Erickson, Bringhurst from the DNR is a messenger of sorts. When KNOM spoke to her after the September 20th meeting, she emphasized the importance of the community's comments.
agencies that are involved, we really understand the value of this area to all people. The resources are incredible, and they are vulnerable, and we are holding this operation to a higher scrutiny, permitting-wise, because it is precious.
Francine Johnson, a lands management services specialist at Cowherick Inc., echoed the importance of tribal members sharing their comments and concerns.
I'm hoping and encouraging the native allotment owners, if there's anyone here, to make sure you voice your concerns, because how it's already starting to impact you in your fish camps and where you do your subsistence hunting. So I encourage you to speak out on that, because it affects you and where your camps are.
Bringhurst is still taking comments on the IPOP case, and the public is encouraged to email her with any thoughts or concerns on the matter. According to the various state and federal agency representatives who spoke, IPOP's project is still in the early stages of the permitting process. Nothing yet is set in stone. Once the DEC receives IPOP's APDES application, it will still take a minimum of 6 months before a permit is issued. This all happens in multiple stages, and nothing is automatically final. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Katie Kazmierski.